Well, one of the greatest gifts to mankind is God's grace. Amen?
Amen.
Well, today we're going to be turning in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10, as we are confronted by God's Word. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. And my title is Sufficient Grace Completed in Weakness. Sufficient Grace Completed in Weakness. If you heard the saying, hard times create strong men create good times create weak men create hard times. We see that in our nation coming full circle today, don't we? But I want you to focus on that point at the beginning. Hard times create strong men, and we're going to see that in Scripture today. So let us read 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. The Apostle Paul writes, I must go on boasting, though there's nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which may not utter. On behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except in my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, this passage would probably be one of the most anti-prosperity gospel accounts you're going to find in Scripture. Joel Osteen's heretical book, Your Best Life Now, is just shredded here. It appears that the Apostle Paul is going through one of the hardest parts of his life, but we're going to see it's one of the most gracious, strongest points of his life. The weaker the human instrument, the more clearly God's grace shines forth. You become a trophy of His grace in this life. Amen?
Right.
Well, this text is a pathway I've come to see for true encouragement in your walk with the Lord. So we see that the gospel accounts tell us that trouble and persecution are going to be abounding in this world. We see that Ecclesiastes says that this life can be full of sorrow. It says that at night the heart does not rest. Job says man is born into trouble as sparks fly upward. Man is corrupted by sin. He's totally depraved. And even a redeemed man still has that fallen humanness. So we're in a dying, decaying, corrupting world, and we need a boost if we're going to get through it. And what is that boost? Well, that's grace. We need God's grace to power us through this life. We can't do it on our own. Look at verse 9. This is the whole point of this passage. Paul just cuts straight. This is the key point. It says verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, you're made complete, or you are perfected in your weaknesses. All circumstances, beloved, whether they're going right for you and you're enjoying things, or wrong and you're in trouble and you're going through some hard times, that's going to happen in this life. All circumstances are making you to be more like His Son, because God loves you. And it's a grace, and His grace will get you through all things at all times. But we have to depend upon Him. I think about weightlifting. I think about pain and suffering. If you're going to build up the bicep, when you work out the bicep, you make microscopic tears. In that weakness, it's breaking down the muscle, but it builds back for gains in strength. Our weakness produces great strength. James 1, 2 through 4 says, count it all joy when trials come, so you might be perfected and found complete.
Yeah.
This is part of the process of your sanctification. God uses all things for our growth. As humanity loves comforts, pleasures, and sins, Christians, if we'll be honest, we thrive much more, especially spiritually, when we are weak and we're humble. It drives us closer to the Lord. God knows we love our comforts and He gladly gives us those things. But at the same time, He knows He has a greater desire for you, and that's to make you more like His Son. And your sanctification for your completion. That's why God sent this thorn in the flesh, you see, to Paul. To keep Paul humble. And let me tell you this, if he'll do it for an apostle, he's definitely, someone that wrote Scripture, he's going to definitely do it to you. Okay? So, Paul hates to boast about what's going on, but he has to, given the situation he's in. Whether the thorn in the flesh, the physical thorn in the flesh, or the thorn in the flesh is a false teacher that's come in and he's stirring up people against him, and there's people in the church going against Paul. You know, we see that Paul loved the people. He longed to be with the people. So that could have been the thorn in his flesh, this messenger of Satan, this possessed man that was leading people against Paul. So they're shredding his character. That's the position I take. And that people are rising up against him and being influenced. So this is sometimes the most hurtful things are when people that you love the most hurt you. And so this hurts Paul. And Paul is this man that's possessed by Satan, that's a demon. He's tearing down the church of Corinth. And Paul is burdened by this. And so this thorn in the flesh. And Paul writes 2 Corinthians to defend his character. And so he has to boast here because he must defend himself. But does Paul, does he complain or does he give up? Well, look here at verse 8. Does he complain? No, it says, three times I pleaded with the Lord. He hits his knees. He goes to the Lord in prayer. He doesn't complain or woe is me. No, he hits his knees in prayer and goes to the Lord. It says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take this thorn away from me. This threefold repetition parallels that of Jesus in Gethsemane. Both Paul and Jesus pleaded with the Lord and had their request denied. But they were granted something much more. They were granted endurance and grace to get through the trial. When we go to the Lord, sometimes He gives us what we need, not what we want, per se. So, grace. It's a word that's used 155 times in the New Testament. The magnificent word means favor bestowed upon a person that did not earn or deserve it. It's unmerited. It's unearned. It's divine favor when you deserved divine wrath. It's powerful. It takes us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. It's powerful enough to give us life in the midst of death. It's a power that saves. It's a power that sanctifies. It's a power that one day will glorify you. It's a power that Jesus, it says, John 1:14, it says Jesus was a man full of grace. Grace, Romans 5 says, it's what we stand in. We stand in grace. Grace is what the Christian life is all about. It's the realm we live in. It's what we breathe. And one day you will live for all eternity in God's grace. The writer of Hebrews says, when you pray, you go to the throne of grace. Matter of fact, Lloyd Jones, when he was on his deathbed, he said, don't keep me back from the glory. I believe he had a dying grace in that moment. God is not shorthanded on grace.
Amen.
God is not cheap on grace. For every trial, every problem, every situation, small or big, God abundantly sticks out His hand with grace and gives it to you to carry you through it, during it, and after it. Every situation. And not just to get you through it, He's molding you to be like His Son. There's a purpose. There's a purpose. So take heart, beloved, that God is doing something no matter what you're in right now. Whether it's sickness, financial, an issue, whatever it is, sin, you have the power to overcome it and get through it because of God's grace. But only if you're in Christ Jesus. This grace is for you. Paul wants us to see that grace is a necessary blessing to power us through our pilgrimage here into His eternal presence. And amidst that, even then, in the heavens and the Holy of Holies, you will be there standing in God's grace forever. The Apostle Paul says, what can't be cured can be enjoyed. Even though the world says, what can't be cured must be endured. So, instead of grumbling and complaining, we see the Apostle Paul, he boasted in his weakness. He said, I'll boast in the Lord because He makes me strong. Samson was strong when he was weak. He crushed God's enemies. Joseph, at his weakest point, rose to the top of Egypt. Job, through his weakness, was blessed more at the end from the beginning. That's what Scripture says. And we know what Job went through. Christ, through his weaknesses and death on the cross, rose again and paid the sin debt for humanity on those who believe. Through great weakness produces great victory and strength, beloved. So don't lose heart. And even if you don't see that victory in this world, you will see it one day with Him for all eternity. Believe that. Believe it. This grace is powerful. Do you believe that today? It's so powerful. It's more powerful than a twister will take your socks off. It will change your life. It will change your life. It will radically change you amongst unbelievers and believers. It will shape you. It will change you. Grace is powerful and it's sufficient for every part of your life. Believe that today. Believe that today. He will hold you fast. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You. I thank You for this grace, Lord. I thank You for this powerful grace that changes us, Lord. I'm thankful that every circumstance in life that You put us in, there's Your grace, Lord, that's sufficient for us to get us through all things. And that we can take heart knowing that You, Lord, have a purpose for every circumstance. Every reason is to glorify You. And so, Lord, let us trust that. Let us take Your word, Lord. Let us apply it to our lives, Father. We thank You for another day, Lord, and we thank You for this special, amazing, divine, powerful grace, Lord. We love You and we thank You for Jesus, who is perfect in thought, word, and deed. I pray that if someone here today does not have Your grace, is not changed by Your powerful grace, Lord, I pray that today is the day of salvation. I pray that today is the day of a life-changing event forever and ever into eternity for them. We love You, Father. We praise Your holy name. Amen.
Amen.